This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Susan's Travel Services.
Right now is the perfect time to start planning your destination wedding or honeymoon.
Susan Green and her experienced professional team are available to you to help plan your perfect day.
With over 25 years in the travel industry, Susan's Travel Services is committed to creating the destination wedding or honeymoon you have dreamed of and to ensure that your guests have a fantastic vacation too.
They can fulfill your destination wedding or honeymoon requests for any location in the world.
If you're looking for an all-inclusive experience, Susan's Travel has partnered with some of the best in the world, whether it's Mexico, the Caribbean, an exotic cruise, an overwater bungalow in the Maldives, Bora Bora, or the French Alps, Susan's Travel can help you.
Not sure of where, how, or how much? Schedule a free consultation to get you moving in the right direction.
Susan's Travel has exclusive offers for TBWPP listeners. Visit the website at susanstravelservices.com today for details. And be sure to mention that you heard about them on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast when you inquire.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn,
plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here. Welcome.
We just had an awesome interview with these two lovely, lovely ladies, and they're fun.
They're wives now.
They're
so
wives.
We're talking about their wedding, Kaya and Morgan, and their wedding was in 2020, so it was a COVID wedding, if we're...
Although they specifically said we didn't want it to be a COVID wedding.
Yeah, we didn't want a COVID wedding, we didn't want a Zoom wedding, but that, in essence,
we didn't want
exactly
a big wedding.
What they had when they had their ceremony.
It was intimate because it was just the two of them, their efficient photographer, videographer, and only like, what, 10,000 people watching
live stream 10,000 on it through Facebook,
which
we'll talk about some of the lessons learned there. But yeah, 10,000 people who we don't know 10,000 people to invite.
Yeah.
Kaya is an influencer in the automotive world, actually, which is not something that we usually talk about on the podcast or know much about, but I've been following her on our Instagram for at least a year.
This is one of those where Christy texts me and says, we've got to have them on the podcast. I'm going to make it my mission to get them on the podcast.
I actually reached out to Kaya well over a year ago when she posted about getting engaged. At the time, she posts like queer, femme, automotive mechanic stuff. Like her Instagram is, I'll say this right, so you can check her out while we're talking. And we're talking about Kaya because she's more of the public person out of the two.
She's the extrovert.
Kaya and Morgan. Yes. And her Instagram is mechanic shop femme, F-E-M-M-E. So she's in her own right a queer and plus size influencer. And then the car thing for me was like secondary to everything else she was posting about empowerment. And when she posted about their engagement, I messaged her on Instagram at that time and was like, hi, I follow you guys. I have this podcast and I just wanted to say congratulations on getting engaged. And if you have any wedding planning questions, let us know. And this was well before the pandemic ever, you know, well, like 2019. So I've been following her and knowing that she was getting married, I was hoping we could get something. And then I just followed their story. And then, you know, boom, she's in the New York Times with our wedding had 10,000 people. And even more impressive, I mean, the New York Times really goes into the story of their wedding, but the HuffPost article that she wrote is a lot about her journey as like a bride coming to terms with like expectations. And she talks a little bit about how she was going to these wedding forums online. And it was like, you know, people expressing that they're really bummed about having to quote downsize and like, what does that mean? And they're kind of grieving their original wedding plan. So it ties everything together because she's a writer. So you can learn about their wedding, but also about, you know, Kaya's perspective after the wedding.
So it just, lots of really cool info here and a beautiful, I mean, how they met, their story, how they met and their journey together and the wedding. And it's just, they're special peeps. And we were so, so stoked to talk to them and have them all, have them on the podcast and for you all to listen because it's a great story. There's some good tips. A lot actually of good tips, not only the virtual wedding part, but actually about, you know, just kind of like letting go on your wedding day
and yeah, keeping your head on
and making sure it's like about the two of you, mm-hmm. period. Boom. All right. Shall we let them listen now?
Yes, we should do it.
All right. Here we go. Our interview with Kaya and Morgan.
Welcome to the podcast, both of you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Was like a shock to you that the New York Times and that the HuffPost like posted about you all, or did you reach out to them, or how did that happen?
The New York Times happened in a very weird way. I run a business, and I was talking to a reporter about something entirely different regarding my business. And I happened to mention, we're both from the same community. They are also queer. And I just happened to mention that we're getting married and we're having a virtual wedding and that it's kind of gotten bigger than we expected. And the reporter is like, oh, tell me about that. And a couple days later,
boom.
She's like, oh yeah, we're actually, I pitched you to the New York Times and they said, maybe, I was like, are you kidding me? And then that night I had a different writer reach out to me and say, hey, I'd like to write your story for the New York Times.
This was before the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. The New York Times always is before the wedding. So the vows column, they send a photographer to shoot the wedding.
So there was actually like a New York Times photographer at the wedding.
Like all that.
And the interview that made it to the New York Times article that was done like
before and
two
after.
Or 3 weeks before the actual wedding.
Wow. And then we had like a follow-up after the wedding. Yeah. So,
I mean, for a wedding with no guests to have a New York Times person there.
It was our only guest.
Tell us about your... Well, give us some background on the two of you and how you met. It sounded, from what I read, as quite a love at first sight sort of situation. Am I putting too much on that?
It was love at her first sight because I didn't see her.
Wow. Oh, Morgan, how did it go?
Morgan. She says I didn't see her. I said I saw her, but she says I didn't see her.
Yeah, who knows?
Tell us.
How it happened?
Yes.
It was a windy day. No. I was working at a security at the Barclays Center, home of the Brooklyn Nets Arena in Brooklyn, New York City. And the performance that day was the circus.
Yeah, Barnum and Bailey Brothers.
Yes, that circus. And some odd reason, I was working at the doors, working the magnetometer, and she walked in, and somehow she became a memory in my brain to the point where a couple of days later, I saw her in a Facebook post on the internet for like queer gays in New York City, and I messaged her like, hey, totally random, were you at my job a couple of weeks, a couple of days ago? If so, I really liked your dress.
Because it kind of stood out. Opening line.
Apparently I stuck out like a sore thumb. At least that's what she tells me. I was a single queer woman wearing thigh-high boots and a short sweater dress.
To the show.
By myself at the Zerk.
Oh, well, yeah, I would say you would stick out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I had been getting my, I was getting my nails done, and my, somebody came in and offered a free ticket to the circus to my nail tech, because they had bought a group of tickets and one of the people dropped out last minute and he couldn't go. So he invited me to go instead, essentially. Is what happened
with the and one ticket.
Like, I've never been to the ticket. I've never been to the circus, and I like doing stuff by myself. I was and always am a very independent person, and I was like, sure, I'll go to the circus. So I raced home and then took an Uber, which was a mistake because you never want to take an Uber in Brooklyn at rush hour. Better take the train.
Literally
took an Uber to the circus. By myself, I had never been to the circus because I was raised Hasidic and that just wasn't something we did. And yeah.
How was the circus?
The circus was really good. I was very impressed. I've been wanting to go back, but we haven't made, we made plans several times that fell through.
You have to go back to the circus together, first of all.
Absolutely.
Like that is so meant to be, and so crazy that you would get a ticket from the person doing your nails to the circus, go by yourself, and the woman working there like is the woman you marry. Like that's so right.
And it seems like such fate that she found me on the internet after that on Facebook.
Right.
And our wedding ended up on Facebook and it just like all a full circle.
There's
you know?
A gazillion people in this world, let alone Brooklyn. Like yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. That is so cool. I love that story. Love it.
So we finally met on March 11th, which is 3 days after her birthday. And she took me to a birthday party, a house party that was a birthday party. She tried to take me empty-handed. Okay, just let's back up for a second. I'm the daughter of a Jewish parent. I was raised in the Hasidic community, and my mother and my grandmother would both be very disappointed at me if I had showed up at somebody's house party with empty-handed.
Yeah,
for
a
birthday.
Totally.
No less.
So we met, and she goes, yeah, we're going to go to this house party. And I'm like, and what are we bringing? She's like, nothing. I was like, wait a second. So that was the start of us using food to like build community. I dragged her to a bakery and we picked up like six things.
A lot.
Yeah, we picked up a bunch of things because I wasn't going to show up to some stranger's birthday party with at least without something that made it them wanting me. And our first picture together was her posing with somebody and me in the background cutting a cake. It feels very prophetic.
Yeah, I was gonna say prophetic. Yes. So how long did you date? Because I know the wedding planning itself was very short amount of time.
Yes. How long did we date?
How long have we been together?
How long we dated. She remembers every single important date. I don't remember what date we got engaged, but she
does. We got engaged August 24th. 2019, we got married August 29th, 2020. We got together March 11th, 4 years prior.
2016.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a long courtship.
Yeah. This was no lesbian U-Haul wedding.
Even though we did U-Haul together after 3 months. Kaya, myself, in a 2002 Toyota Camry with our Greek tortoise in the back.
And all of our belongings.
Yeah. So we drove from New York City, made a big road trip of it, and ended up in Milwaukee on May 4th,
How do you remember this?
2018. Wow. Okay. So Kaya, you do something I find fascinating, which is educate people on cars, car maintenance, purchasing cars, right?
Yes.
That's freaking awesome. I love cars, by the way. I like cars. And I mean, I'm sure you know way more about cars. Are you like one of those people who like, you see a car, what kind of car is that? Oh, that's a 1979, you know.
So I'm not a car enthusiast. So I'm not about antique cars and all that stuff. I'm really about people and their cars. So making people's lives easier through their car, through their car maintenance, through car education, through buying a car that's better used, because at the end of the day, I'm all about like helping pull people out of poverty.
Yeah.
And you need a car for that.
So moving into the wedding then.
Growing up, I never thought I would have gotten married. But then Kaya walked through the magnetometer at the circus and wedding bells went off.
No, I also never thought I would get married. This was not.
I really wanted something intimate because I am a very like private person. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted like Kaya, myself, and like the officiant.
Mm-hmm. Where did you want us to go?
In like somebody's backyard or on a rooftop or.
You said you wanted to go to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, Vegas.
Originally, like to just a low
originally, yeah. Pre-COVID, just go to like one of the chapels in Vegas and
elope.
Yeah, elope.
And I did not want anything like
what that. Did you want? What did you want, Kaya?
We sort of waffled. Like, so when she was saying we could do like a backyard wedding, I was like, okay, maybe we'll have this like small 30 people for us was a lot. A wedding in like somebody's backyard. We even started like sort of planning that, and then we were like, I don't know if we really want this. Maybe we'll just have a like a big queer dinner party somewhere in New York. We used to have them all the time pre-COVID.
Yeah,
so like the Vegas idea was not floating my boat at all, so we tried to figure out how we could get into the middle.
Compromise.
So that 30 person idea, and then the queer party just sort of made sense since we did those before also. And like I really wanted like a big pig roast and a big charcuterie table with all the
cheese
all the cheese.
And then I don't know, we just sort of stalled and didn't, and sort of were like, well, since we can't figure it out, I guess we'll just wait until we figure it out.
And then the pandemic
happened.
Okay. So
and we had always sort of put the fall of 2020 into like, this is when we're planning to have it. And then the pandemic happened. And right after it started, I called her. We had traveled to California. And as we were in California, I was teaching at the University of California, Northridge. And as we were there, things started to shut down.
Yeah. And really shut down. And that was on March 15th.
Yeah, so we got back home.
On March 15th. And then by the 17th, almost everything was shut down, including like my job at the casino.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, maybe we should just go and get a wedding license.
Yeah.
And like get married. I mean, there's a lot of... The reason we weren't really in such a rush to get married is, frankly, we were essentially married. We were living together. We had been living together for almost 4 years at that point.
We own a tortoise.
Yeah.
So it didn't really, like, necessarily have so much of a importance. But then this pandemic happened, and anybody can get sick. And what happens if you go to the hospital? All of a sudden, those spousal rights become incredibly important, especially in a queer relationship. So I was like, okay, why don't we just get a wedding license and get married, and then we can, you know, we can deal with the wedding part another time, because mm-hmm. that's not as important. And our county wasn't issuing wedding licenses.
Yeah, no, I remember license. That. Yeah, nobody was. You could not get a marriage license.
They were issuing it in the next county, but not in Milwaukee County. They were issuing it literally 10 minutes down the road. They were issuing
in person?
License. Yeah, because it's a more conservative county.
Oh yeah, Wisconsin.
So okay. We are a weird state. So they and so I called the Ozaukee County clerk and I said, "Hey, you got to do something. There's got to be a way you could give us a marriage license. Like, this is important right now." And she called up the chain to whoever she could talk to, and Wisconsin law doesn't allow for it.
You couldn't go to the other county?
We couldn't go to the other county to get a wedding license or to get a marriage license. And it was so, and then I got furloughed and she got furloughed, and all of a sudden, you know, priorities dramatically shifted. Yeah. All of a sudden it was like, oh my God, how are we going to make rent?
But I was only furloughed for like 3 days because they loved me, so they brought me back.
They brought her back to guard an empty building. So then the
pandemic,
the pandemic started, you know, going in full force, and, you know, we were, the wedding was at the back of our mind. And at some point in July, we're like, in June, we're like, maybe we should buy wedding rings just in case we decide to do this. We could make it happen without having to wait forever. So when the stores opened, we went to Zales and bought our wedding rings.
No, wedding band.
The band. And we were like, okay, well, we don't have any plan yet. We don't know what we're going to do, but maybe we're going to decide to plan something.
And then one day, I think I was coming home from work, and Kyle's like, let's get married in 4 weeks. And I'm like, here we go again.
I think
Kyle has another to-do list. Workaholic, and it happened.
I didn't say 4.5 weeks. I said maybe we should still get married in fall. And I started looking, and then I started getting nervous because, like, the whole pandemic situation was like, okay, so I'm gonna plan a wedding for 6 to 12 weeks from now, and then the wedding's gonna get canceled because things are gonna shut down. And yeah. It was like, you know, in late July, like the last week of July, when it was sort of like, okay, Fauci is saying that things are going to get really bad, but things don't feel really bad.
You have like a short window, it feels like.
Exactly. I was like, okay, we have to make this window work. How are we going to make it happen? And I started looking for photographers, and I found a photographer, and her first available date was in 4.5 weeks. And after that, it was like 2 months. And I was like, babe, so let's do it in 4.5 weeks. On August 29th, can you take off of work?
And that, it was that date because of the photographer.
Yeah.
Okay. And you weren't planning on inviting anybody. It was
right.
Still going to be very small. At that point, it was always going to be small.
There was no question at all in our mind that there was not going to be anybody there.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Like, when we got married, it was to protect each other in case of any
illness
or any situation that had to be dealt with because of COVID.
And financially,
we also didn't want the whole thing where we're gonna have this like little wedding and then we're gonna have the big wedding that everybody keeps talking about, because that just didn't make sense. So yeah, we were going to get married, we were going to,
at the same time, we didn't want to have a COVID wedding where couple of weeks after 20 people came, then we're in the news headlines, lesbian in COVID to
19 out of 20 people. Yeah.
Having people at the wedding was not even up for debate. But once we decided we were going to have a wedding, we really wanted to make sure that every single detail was captured and beautiful so that it really felt special. I feel like I was on a lot of Facebook groups listening to a lot of brides really devastated over their loss of this day for them, and sort of having like shotgun weddings as if they're like pregnant and back in the 1800s in secret, and then having the big wedding a year or two later. And I also didn't want that. Our wedding date was our wedding, was the big day, and we needed to figure out how to make it special without people being there.
Finally, who she is, went to the internet and invited everyone, and a lot of people came.
Yes, but the goal ultimately, once you had the date, was the goal, like you said, we want to make this an elevated, wonderful day for the two of us to like express. It's important for us to express ourselves to each other. That's the, I think that sometimes gets lost in big weddings, but that was your priority.
Yeah. And while the wedding was big, we didn't have anything to do with any of the people watching. So it was very important to me and to her that we not have a Zoom wedding. I didn't want to talk to 10,000 people. I didn't even want to talk to 100 people. You can be there and be part of our day virtually, but this is our day and we're going to spend the day focused on each other.
Yeah.
So we made sure to have the full team around us to get to where we were needed to be. Yeah.
I have a question because I think this is a really great way of doing things and everybody is different. And I think that my big question for you is, because you mentioned you come from a Hasidic family, Kaya, and Morgan, I don't know where either of your families are geographically or how involved they are in your lives, but a lot of people find it difficult to have just the couple and the officiant and the photographer because there's family members that really, you know, want to be there in person. And I wonder if you might or comfortable speaking about if that was something that was difficult for you or that your family, you know, what are the family dynamics?
Family dynamics is my family live in Brooklyn. They are a part of my life. However, they're traditionally not supported of like homosexuality. And I've been out for about, I want to say 18 years, but it's just something they can't get over.
Okay.
So I knew for a fact that like, mainly my parents, even if it was an in-person wedding outside of COVID, wouldn't have been present. And so, yeah, I knew.
So that wasn't a factor for you? Like them being there?
It wasn't. Like I knew from 18 years ago that they wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
And even virtually, they weren't there.
They didn't watch online?
No.
But they know you're married.
As far as we know, they didn't. My parents were never going to be part of our wedding either. My sisters were. And it was pretty tough for them to wrap their brain around not being there. Well, for some of them.
How many sisters do you have?
I'm the oldest of 15.
Holy.
She has a crazy background. I'm sure.
So I have siblings all over the world, but most of the older ones were able to watch the wedding virtually. We also asked, you know, our friends and family who wanted to be a part of our wedding to do like mini toasts. So we could have done the toasts live. The videography team could have done that, but it would have been too much. We really wanted to focus on each other.
I would have been too involved for you.
Yeah, I didn't want to. So we asked them to record their toast and email it to the people, and then they streamed those toasts after the ceremony. So it was still like people were part of it. We had during the ceremony, we had the seven blessings, which is traditional to Jewish. We had the seven blessings, which are traditional to Jewish weddings. And what we did is instead of doing the traditional blessings, we picked seven categories we wanted to be blessed with. And we had our friends and family write the blessings. So we still had people part of our day, even though they
weren't there.
They weren't there. But I mean, we've, despite, you know, our parents and whatever, we've been really surrounded and blessed with a lot of people who care a lot about us.
Yeah.
And a lot of strangers who cared a lot about, I mean, tell them about the gifts.
Oh my. Yeah, we had to move
into a bigger place. Back to
Brighton because
not because of
no. I recall like every day I was going home and there was like 7 to 8 boxes outside.
That's incredible.
People were sending us gifts from all around the world.
What? That's amazing.
From Canada, someone from Australia,
all over the place,
all over the world,
because they were
put the wedding red.
I had to stop putting like it, they kept running out of gifts, and I was like, oh my god, but these people really want to give us stuff, and we don't like. And eventually, I just put $10 Amazon gift cards on there because we didn't need any more stuff.
Whoa!
So from your registry,
these little notes from people, and like really heartwarming, like people from all over the world. In fact, one person put a quote from Doctor Who. Morgan is a huge Doctor Who fan. She put a quote from Doctor Who about basically you have to hold hands and walk together or something. And I surprised Morgan by including that quote at the end of the wedding ceremony. That's how we closed the wedding. Because I didn't know about it because I'm not a huge Doctor Who fan.
This episode is brought to you by 1010.
Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, InStyle magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it.
1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today.
Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively on BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone.
We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds.
If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring to wear forever, you definitely want to check this out.
Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings just launched, and you can find it exclusively at BlueNile.com.
The whole angle here was like you had a Zoom wedding and 10,000 people you didn't, some, many of whom you didn't know, attended, but you're also saying you didn't want to have like a traditional, like in quotes, Zoom wedding where you're like, hey, everyone, so happy you're here. So
yes.
I want to know how all these people got invited to your wedding, yeah. But I also want to know how you decided to work it so that the day was just focused on the two of you instead of feeling like you had to keep coming back to the live stream, basically. But
right.
Who were all these people? How do they know about you? Why do they love you?
Yeah.
So I guess I'm a big personality person.
Big.
People love our love and they have for a long time. I'm a writer and I'm an educator and I guess I'm an influencer. So I have a pretty big platform, but I've always had a platform, mostly because I've been really open about sharing my story and my struggles and my successes. So it felt like a natural extension to be like, to share this moment with people. But at the same time, I didn't want to open this moment up to, first of all kinds of garbage that could happen wedding. But also, I have to respect Morgan, who's becoming my wife, and her valuing, you know, privacy and her valuing, you know, being present in the moment with each other and focusing on each other. And I really wanted it not to feel like a television segment where we were rehearsing and playing these parts. I wanted once the day started, you know, we planned and planned and planned and we focused on all the details. I mean, up till the night of, we actually had a huge problem. We left our veils and her crown.
Oh man.
In Wisconsin. And And we paid more than they cost to get them overnighted. Yes. But once we got there and we laid down at night, getting ready for the next day, we wanted to stop worrying about everything. Whatever went right, went right. Whatever went wrong, went wrong. And it didn't matter because all that mattered was us. Hmm. Let them do their thing. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, that's fine, because at the end of the day, we're getting married and it's about us.
So who helped, who was the team that helped make it happen? I mean, not, you don't have to state it by name, but like who helped?
Once again, Kaya went on the internet and found random queer people.
Most of the vendors were queer, Black people from the Indianapolis area. Two people from Ohio. But we really tried to keep it very small because, again, this is COVID. So we really wanted to do the minimum we could do to get our wedding. We got tested before we left Wisconsin. And I'm working from home, so I don't ever see anybody. But we were trying to be as careful as possible. And then everybody wore masks. So we had our photographer, who was Natural Nerd Designs. Mm-hmm. We had a makeup artist, and we had a bunch of really great people who were able to make it happen.
Did they run the tech completely?
Yeah, then we had somebody who was running the tech, which was unfortunately not as successful as we hoped it had been. But whatever, it worked out. That's why I'm saying, people were messaging me up until the moment we started, like, oh, we're 15 minutes late. And my phone was blowing up with people messaging me like, oh, what's going on? And it's like, wait a second. At this point, I'm not interested in talking to anybody. There was only one person I needed to make sure was on that live stream, and it was the New York Times reporter.
Yes.
Other than that, yes. It didn't matter. At weddings happen late. There are things that go wrong in everybody's wedding. But if you take the time to focus on those things, you're missing the moment. Mm.
Yeah. My God, what you're saying is just the advice we try to give people all the time, and that I wish more couples would really comprehend, but really, really, really do. And I love that you said that the night before, that you just laid down and said, like, we're going to release all worry now, because whatever happens, happens. And that's the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah, we did everything we could do to make sure everything ran as smoothly and as well as possible. I mean, I ordered food for the team of people that was helping us like 3 weeks before the wedding. We had we had curry goat and black cake. Morgan is Jamaican.
Okay.
And, you know, everything was as set up as it could be. We had a Google Doc. I always recommend people have a Google Doc. It had everybody's phone numbers in it. It had the address in it. It had all the details of everything that we could put in that we had thought of, except my Facebook password. If you're doing a virtual wedding and somebody else is running the tech, you should make sure they have your Facebook password or whatever platform you're using, hence the 15 minutes late.
So I was going to ask that. So you used Facebook as the platform?
We did. I don't know if, unless you want to have a 10,000 person wedding, I don't know if it's quite the best platform. We ran into some problems with the music. We planned the music in advance and then found out a week before.
Because of copyright.
Royalty. Yes.
And it became a huge thing. Luckily, I had written recently about a great band called Iggy and the Crazy Makers. I think that's how you pronounce it. And I reached out to their publicist and I said, hey, your music is perfect. I mean, I wish I had thought about it before because it was truly perfect. And I reached out to their publicist and I was like, Sarah Grossman, and I was like, listen, we're doing this wedding. By now we already know it's going to be in the New York Times and all these places. We're stuck. The free music is not working for us. We listened and listened and listened, and we were like, this doesn't sound like us. can we use your music for the wedding? And luckily they were more than happy to do that. So yeah, we had their music. But if you're doing a Facebook Live or a Twitter Live or a Instagram Live, whatever you're using, make sure you get the rights to use the music or they will cut off your feed.
That is a good tip for anybody out there listening. Wow. Wow.
So okay. That was a big thing. So if you are inviting certain people, then maybe Zoom or Google Meets or whatever is a better platform for you to use. We also were running into issues at the end with like mics. I didn't think about all those things. You want people to hear you. So you want to use mics. Make sure that there's proper Wi-Fi in exactly the location. Part of the reason our live stream didn't work as well as we wanted it to is because the house and where we did it with the river was very far apart. And from the house, even though they brought the internet connection with them, by the time they got to the river, for some reason, there was an issue with the internet. So test the internet as far in advance as you could to make sure it's working correctly.
Yeah.
I hear you. I do virtual weddings for people. And so that's all the stuff that we're like working on. Cause it's just like, whoa, on the day of, you're like all these things you wouldn't really even know to look for. That's awesome. So all of the 10,000 viewers then, sorry, Christy, I just want to make sure, did you invite them or did you just put out like to all of your people that follow you on social, like, this is when we're getting married, we'll post the live stream link. Like, did you just like allow anybody to log on and watch?
Yeah.
We streamed it on my Facebook page.
Yeah. Sweet.
So awesome. I posted the invite with the event, in a bunch of different groups, like places that I had used to build community and on my Facebook page and all my social media. There was also a lot of press before the wedding.
Yeah.
Which added to it. And there was just a link to the event.
Yeah.
And then once I hired a community moderator, so once the live went up, she posted the live into the Facebook event.
Oh,
so that
cool.
People can watch it right from the event. And to watch the comments, because I had no idea how many people would be there. I mean, we knew how many people had said that they were coming, but that doesn't mean anything. We had no idea. And I didn't want other people's viewing experience to be ruined by like stupid homophobic comments.
Yeah.
Or like random.
Even though like a person I knew from like when I was younger shared the event the day of on her Facebook page, and then I think her family member who were being like a traditional Caribbean person was like being very like homophobic, and so she actually ended up like blocking the family member, and I was like sitting minutes before getting married like reading their interaction on Facebook.
About
my wedding, it was crazy.
Really wanted to limit that and limit any kind of, you never know what's going to happen. That's the other downside to using Facebook Live, especially so if you're going to use Facebook Live, create a private group where you put the people that you want to attend your wedding to watch the Facebook Live. Since we were creating a public event, there was no way we can limit who would be seeing the event.
Yeah.
So we wanted to use a different method, as in somebody who would watch the comments and watch it live, not just during the wedding, but for the 24 hours after the wedding, so that if this got shared in any kind of crappy places, that the comments would still be deleted, so other people didn't have a icky experience around it.
Yeah, and before the wedding happened, I was like, oh my God, no one's gonna show up. and there was like so many people from different chapters of my life that were commenting on the live stream while it was happening. that I was seeing later on in the day, and I was like, wow.
Because it got shared and shared and...
Yeah.
Even people she hadn't talked to in 10, 15 years that had seen the wedding through the grapevine and showed up to support her, which was... Yeah. Incredible.
I want to read this part from the New York Times. This is the one that they wrote, the HuffPost you wrote, right, Kaya?
Yes,
Post. So this, they said about 1,600 viewers shared blessings and gratitude in the comments section of the live feed. Ms. Milstein's vows included, "Today is our ultimate compromise, a wedding with no one, yet with everyone present. The public event offered a way for family members who were less supportive to tune into the live stream, quote, without compromising their values or announcing their RSVP." And that's really interesting because I like the idea that like maybe your grandma, isn't that what, you know, might have been like,
well, I didn't think my grandma would watch, and she ended up watching, but this wasn't specifically for her, but sure. I was very lucky that she decided to watch the wedding.
So but for other people too, to say like, well, they don't think I'm going to watch it. I'm not even supportive of their marriage, but they could still just keep their comments to themselves and actually watch. And maybe some minds were changed or affected by hearing the loving words that you said to each other. I don't know. I think in some ways you never knew how big this was going to be and how many people were going to show up, but you also have no idea now if like how watching your wedding may have inspired people or empowered them or changed somebody's ideas about the world. It's kind of a cool thought.
Right after I got married and I went back to work, I felt like so many people were confiding in me or like opening up to me, like, oh, I have a brother that's gay.
Yeah.
Or back in college, I experimented, and I'm like, okay.
Like, thank you. Welcome.
Like, I'm not looking to be the
guru of everybody's.
Yeah, so a lot of people are like reaching out to me for advice on
gay live stream weddings.
And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, it's when we think about like the impact that it made. I mean, just from reading the comments, and people brought their kids and people, you know, to show them what things look like. And I mean, it feels good.
Yeah, I think one lady commented like her daughter that was like 3 came in the room and was like, "Ooh, 2 princesses getting married."
Aww.
And I think the part of it was also like, for example, there was an LGBT publication that shared the wedding, and they said that we were both femmes, or we're both like very feminine. And I tweeted at them, it was this auto straddle, and I was like, you know, basically that Morgan is not feminine, but bridal is not gender specific. Anybody can wear a wedding gown if they choose to wear a wedding gown, and Morgan chose to wear a wedding gown. So whatever makes you happy, you have this showcase that you have the opportunity to accomplish whatever you want on your wedding day. You can choose which parts are going to be important to you. Like, the ceremony was very important to us. We had a lot of input making sure that it was really spoke to us and not your traditional American ceremony that really still feels like somebody belongs to the other person. You know, the father gives the bride away like she's property to, you know, to the next part. And it just, we didn't want it to feel like that. We wanted it to be true to who we are. But we also wanted to show that just because it's a COVID wedding doesn't mean you have to lose all of those things that make a wedding
meaningful,
feel like a wedding. like, we didn't have to lose the big dresses, you know, we didn't have to lose the makeup, we didn't have to lose the beautiful location. You just have to know how to reframe. Like, we were on the White River, but it was the backyard of an Airbnb. But who would have known
that? You have to, like, kind of distill everything to what's most important and then do those things in an elevated way because it's your wedding day. You're not going to do this every year for the most part. How, I know you had a big part in writing the ceremony. So I wanted to just, I know you mentioned the blessings and I wanted to hear how you made the words of the ceremony your own. Like, did you read a book about vow? I mean, what did you look at to research, or how did you do it, with any outline or structure?
So we first sat down with the officiant via Zoom and, or one of those platforms, and we we sat down with the officiant and we went over what we, our thoughts and feelings about weddings were and ceremonies and stuff like that. And then she, you know, I told her, I don't want you to feel offended because I really want to have take a very important part in this ceremony. I want to make sure it really speaks to us. And she told us about how there are many brides and many couples that have actually no interest in the ceremony. They want it to be the shortest possible so they can get over it and get on to the party. And for me, that was the opposite.
Yeah.
This was our wedding. The rest of it was just icing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she provided us with an outline from the state of Michigan that provided it to her of, like, you know, your general ceremony. And then I think I started with cutting a bunch of crap out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started adding things back in and, like, changing language, changing from family to community, changing from ownership to respect and honor.
No one was able to object.
Yeah.
No, I don't about
care.
Us.
No, yeah, I don't care what you think about our wedding.
Right.
What else did we do? Oh, so we added the Jewish traditions into the ceremony.
Did you write vows that you didn't share with each other ahead of time?
We didn't share with each other. We did share them with the officiant, though.
Yes.
Which I think is important because I feel like the vows can be so, I mean, we've been together for a long time, but if we hadn't, those vows could be so different that they would be strange together. Like, one of us could be talking about death and the other person could be talking about, you know, sharing cupcakes. So we each we each wrote our own vows. Yeah?
Yeah.
And they complemented each other. They weren't the same in any way. And we didn't really give each other any kind of structure other than it should be a minute or less when you read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely showed how different we are, even though we love each other.
Yeah, even in the vows, it was very clear that we're
opposites.
We're very different people. And that's fine.
Yeah, that's me and my husband too. Our vows were like an indicator of all the differences in the good way. You know, you complete each, you know, it's like puzzle pieces fitting together.
We also wrote love letters to each other that we did not give to each other, that we gave to the officiant, who can use those letters to inform her portion of the ceremony that's not written. And then she would mail those to us in a year from the wedding.
Oh,
I love that.
So I actually got that. I wrote a article for Alma, which is a Jewish publication, about how queer Jews can get married without their parents and, like, how to form different traditions in order to make it work. And one of the sources that I used was Rabbi Brian Mann, and this was one of his suggestions. I don't think it made it into the article because it wasn't specifically Jewish and it was specifically queer, but it made enough of an impact on me that I was like, oh, I really like this. Let's figure out a way to make it happen.
It's two birds with one. I mean, an officiant needs to know your love stories and why you love each other, because that's some of the stuff that the officiant says. But then to have those as letters instead of her kind of interviewing you. Like, what do you love about Morgan? Tell me the top three reasons why you, you know, whatever she needs to do for her strategy for writing the ceremony. But to do love letters is, it's like, it's in your own words and she gets a good idea, not just of why you love your partner, but a good idea about you too. And then to get them in a year, that's a great idea.
And then it makes for a really beautiful anniversary gift.
So this is a good reference for some people listening. Did you say it's called Alma?
Hey, Alma, or Alma, is basically a website that's about like Jewish identity, from like pop culture to personal stuff and feminism. And it has a lot of like Jewish things for people who aren't necessarily, you know, Hasidic. It covers Judaism from lots and lots of different perspectives. So I've really enjoyed writing for them and had some interesting like wedding related pieces, but it's not specifically about weddings.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's a good resource, or, you know,
absolutely,
you were able to utilize that. So that's great. That's great. Wonderful. So before we end, you had a question for...
Our last wrap up, I think now that you've had a lot of time and maybe more introspection about your wedding than other people have had since you wrote about it and have talked about it now multiple times. But what, I'm curious to know what each of your like favorite either element of the wedding day or thing that happened, or if there was something that surprised you in a, you know, a positive way that you can recall.
You first.
I was surprised at how calm I was. I thought I'd be freaking out the whole day, but I was pretty chill. I wasn't surprised, but I knew that like Kaya had put in so much time and effort into like producing this wedding. There was no way it could have failed, and it was very successful. And
did you like it?
I loved it. With the married, I loved it.
So if the wedding would have failed, we wouldn't have been married?
No comment. And it was also like at the end of the night, like when all the cameras were turned off and all the people had left, just sitting back, hanging out like, oh, we're actually married. Like, whoa, it happened.
I think
that feeling of like feeling settled.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just very calm. I think we were both like extremely like, this happened and it went well, and that's good. And now it's over.
We thought it was over. And then
you just keep being asked to relive it.
Publications.
It just keeps coming.
And Metro UK and
Airbnb gave us $10,000 for a honeymoon.
What? That was,
yeah.
Because they did the ceremony at an Airbnb.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but only it was pretty crazy. I think that I really wanted that moment, like you get ready apart and then you like see each other and you get married. Like for some reason that was like something that I had wanted. Actually, in Jewish tradition, you don't see your fiance for a whole week before your wedding. And you spend your entire wedding day fasting, and then you get married in the evening. And it's like all of these things to like really drive home the importance of the wedding, how it's this incredibly important day. It's not like a big party. So maybe that's where I got my whole mentality from. But we started getting ready separately. And then Morgan came downstairs and she was a little bit nervous. And at that point, it didn't matter. I just wanted to be with her and I wanted to make sure she was calm and we were both happy and moving forward with the rest of the day. Not because I was worried that she wouldn't show up, but more because I didn't want her to have to spend that time alone and be nervous and anxious about the wedding when we could just do it together.
Yeah.
And it, and together it worked and it was beautiful and it was, it wasn't any less powerful just because we got ready together or, you know, we got our dresses together or anything like that. And I think the best decision I made about the whole wedding situation was getting a private chef. And we had the wedding in the middle of the day to accommodate my siblings in the Netherlands and in Israel and in Paris and all that. And at the in the evening, we had a private chef come in and make us dinner just for the two of us.
It was delicious.
We're a menu. Yeah, we planned the menu together. And it was,
great.
It really gave us opportunity to sit and enjoy ourselves in a safe way. Mm-hmm. That was really lovely.
Did you have a cake?
We did. So we had the cake. So we did the ceremony and then we did cake and champagne and then we did the toasts all as part of the virtual thing. Mm-hmm. So the chef actually prepared the cake and he prepared the dinner. So that was nice.
Yeah.
That's lovely. I love it. What a beautiful story. We really appreciate you sharing it with us and everybody listening. I know you've probably told it a lot. You've been reliving it over and over, but it's a good one. It's a good one to relive. And I love that. And I hope you post about when you receive those letters in the mail on your 1 year anniversary.
I'm sure we will.
I wonder if they'll get there exactly on your anniversary or like a couple days. What's up?
Well, for our anniversary, we're probably going to be in Europe celebrating our honeymoon.
Oh, yes. So.
Hopefully they're going to come early.
Or when you get back.
Everybody please stay home and wear a mask because I'd really like to have a honeymoon.
I want to go to Europe.
Thank you. That's the best advice. Everybody just stay home and wear a mask when you're not home.
Our plan was to have a 2-week honeymoon in Europe and Airbnb has made it a lot more plausible that we will actually a lot more probable that it will actually happen and it's not just like this pipe dream. You know, while we couldn't agree on the wedding and we spent a long time going back and forth, one thing we did agree on, right?
The honeymoon.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we knew what we were doing for the honeymoon as soon as we got engaged. That was never
Where are you gonna go in Europe? What are you gonna do?
I wanna go to the UK because you know Doctor Who.
Yes.
And that's about it.
She wants to go to England. I get to plan the rest of the trip.
Yeah. Where do you wanna where else
start
do you wanna
in
go?
England.
Yeah, we're going to start in England because they don't have good food. So she just needs to be there for like 24 hours.
24?
So we can see all the Doctor Who things and then we can move on to the part of Europe that's actually interesting.
Like, wait, there's good food in England.
Yeah, my sisters live in Europe and like one of my sisters has been all over Europe. I mean, everywhere. And she has all these stories. So
help you plan it.
How fun. Yeah. Well, we're so happy for you both. Congratulations. And so honored that you came on our little pod to share your story with everybody. And yeah, it's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. Well, you two take care now.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.